If you have your Bibles, your electronic devices, whatever you have, let's get this word out. I've got it. It's been burning in my spirit. It's something that needs to come forth for what God is doing in this hour and for where he is taking us. Understand this. There is a timing of God and there's a timing here on earth. When you get into the chronos and you get into the kairos together, you're in alignment with what God is doing. Time does not dictate to God. God dictates time to you. When you're in a season in your life, God begins to show you ways of understanding that season. With revelation, you have a better understanding of why you're in that season. But if we don't have understanding, we will stay in that season, or it will come right back around to you again, and you'll face it again. Maybe you have experienced that in your life. And I'm asking the church this for a reason, because too often the church sees the same thing over and over, but they do not discern what it is. And in this very hour, we need to have the understanding and discernment to know what God is doing and what is opposing what God is doing. Amen? So I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16, we'll begin reading at verse 6. And when you have it, say amen. When you have it, stomp your feet. We got two people, three people. When you have it, stomp your feet. We got some more people ready to dance. When you have it, stomp your feet. Stomp on the devil's head. That should be every single one of you right there. Amen. All right, I want to begin reading at verse 6 in Acts chapter 16. Then I'll give you this message, and then I want to just get and bring as much of this revelation out so that you have an understanding of it. The Apostle Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true. I thank you, Father, that it brings the very necessities to our life here on earth to prepare us for where we are going in this life. I thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, Lord. It guides us, it protects us, and it leads us down the path that you have for our destiny. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. What I want to begin to minister to you is the Department of DOD. The Department of DOD. Now, many of us know the DOD is Department of Defense, right? DOD, Department of Defense. Now, we as Christians, as believers, are not to be on the defensive. We're supposed to be on the offensive. Not to be offensive to your neighbor, but to be on the offensive. We're not to retreat away from the things that present itself to us. We're to stand and know what is presenting itself to us. I was watching highlights of the football games past season as they prepare for the Super Bowl. And a lot of the commentators were ex-quarterbacks, and they were showing what the defense was doing, and they were calling the plays before the defense would even react to the ball snapping. They could tell you exactly what the defense was going to do so that the offense would better attack the defense, if you would, okay? So they can do the play, do it right, so they can score a point. Now, I found it very interesting that the commentators had an understanding of the defense because they played on the other side, an offense, long enough to see the defensive stance and their strategies. If you can see it from a distance, then you're going to know what the enemy is trying to do before it's done to you. Amen? So as I began to see that, I knew that God was preparing the people of God to understand what is keeping them from their destiny. So DOD is distractions of destiny. Distractions of destiny. We see here in this particular scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 16, we see that Paul, in verse 9, and this is during the night, Paul had a vision. How many of you have had a vision from God? How many of you? How many of you had directions from God to do a certain thing? Amen? And the moment you receive it, the defense is on. Distractions start to come. Distortions start to come. You hear and see what God has given you, and you know it to be God, but then there's something that comes to distort the message or the vision. And if it's distorted, you can't see clearly what he has for you to do. Even though he may show you a preemptive strike that is coming, you still have to understand with clarity, precision, and accuracy on how to do what God has called you to do. For too long, believers have been sitting, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, you're waiting, getting old. You haven't done anything to progress forward. You stay stagnant on what God has called you to do, who he's called you to be, and we don't move forward. We stay in the same place. Let me make a beautiful facade as a building for a church for God to bring his presence in, but we do nothing with the temple that he already gave us. We work on everything on the outside so people can see how beautiful it is. We get all these great, wonderful plants. God, we don't have a lot of these. We get all these wonderful things in the church and the buildings, but we don't do anything about what God has already commissioned us to do. And we hold on to everything that has been ministered out to the people. We hold it. And we're getting so fat with the word, but we don't do anything to release what God has given us. We have to understand that God has given us a mandate, a call, a purpose for our destiny. But if we don't go through and continue to do it, regardless of whatever distraction comes, any distortions that come, or any type of person that enters into your life, to keep you doing what God did. It's very easy to make that happen. Because most of the time, your distractions not a marriage counseling session. Most of the time, it comes from people you know or people that know you. Yes? So here we see the apostle. He comes and runs into Timothy. He tells Timothy, follow me. We're going on this journey. Come on, be a part of this. I need to circumcise you. Timothy's not a little boy. Timothy's an old man. So, what? Oh, I'm going to follow you, but I don't want to have to shed some blood to follow you. I don't want to have to be in pain to follow you. Many times we think that because we're following after Jesus and doing everything, many times we get behind a ministry that is flourishing and doing great, you think it's going to be easy because they already have momentum. You still got to pay your dues. Yeah, they didn't want to do it that way. You still got to pay your dues. Even though you came in the end, yeah, you're going to get your blessing, but you're going to pay your dues. The enemy's going to try to find any way that he can to attach himself to you to keep you from moving forward. You may find yourself being a little lethargic, having a little bit too many headaches, getting a little bit too nauseous, not being able to sleep at night, not being able to concentrate, not being able to even stay focused in your job or even at home, in your prayer time. Not being able to get into your place of worship with God one-on-one. These are all signs of something I'm going to show you. Spirit. Assignment was given to the Apostle Paul. He had a vision and was sent with where to go. Now, he had a vision of a man, did he not? Macedonian man. He's from Macedonia. There's a Macedonian man telling him where to come. Come bring the good news to us, right? So he already knows he has a purpose to go somewhere to bring the gospel of what not he has heard, but what he has seen and what he has witnessed and been a part of, right? And the thing is, we want to preach a gospel that others preach, but not what we live. You understand? And that's what we got to be careful with. We've got to make sure, we got the echo on this one, turn the effects off. We have to make sure that we're paying attention, discerning what God is calling us to do and what the enemy is trying to stop us from doing. You understand? Okay, now, so they're going to Macedonia. They get ready. They leave to Macedonia. And they already have their assignment from God, what they're to do, where they're to go, and what the purpose is for them to be there. Now, I want you to go down to verse 16. Here's where the distractions begin. Watch this. When you're at verse 16, amen? Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Let's stop right there real quick. Verse 16 begins with, they were going to a place of prayer. Now what you need to understand in this particular place, this was a paganistic place, a territory, a region, and they did not worship God. They worshiped many gods, many idols, many temples for idols were erected, but nothing for God. So the whole reason the vision is given to Paul is so that the gospel can now reach this territory to go and minister the gospel. So when they were going to go look for a place to pray, it wasn't like they were going into a house of worship. There was not one. Are you hearing this? Sometimes God will give you a vision, but it's not going to be the way you think. It's not going to look the way you think. It's not going to be in the place that you think it's supposed to be in. It's not going to be in the type of environment that you're used to, because something about your familiarity is going to keep you from progressing forward to get to what God wants you to get done. Are you hearing this? Too many times we have all these spiritualists. They're so spiritual, they're no earthly good. And I'm going to say it. You don't let anybody around you that you feel that has an off spirit. You don't let anybody around you that has a demon on them. You don't have anybody come around you that doesn't understand the word because you're so elite. What good are you? We need to reach out to people regardless of the circumstances in their life, because a spirit is a spirit, but the person is a child of God. Amen? I'm about to go there already. Hold on. So when they get to this place, they're met with a slave girl. Now, you find it, if you begin to read this in the original text, in the Greek, it begins to tell you about this had a spirit on her, the spirit of Python. It's a Python spirit. Now, how many of you love snakes? I mean, you really love snakes? You love snakes? I'm going to get you. I just can't be around them. I cannot be around any type of snake. I don't like it. I don't like things that can shed their skin and still be the same. I hope you heard what I just said. Something that can shed the outside and still be the same. I don't like that. If you're going to shed something, you need to change in the process. But a snake is always a snake. It's going to do what it intended to do all the time, forever and ever. A snake is not going to be nice to you. I read one of the articles one time that there was a woman that had a boa constrictor, and she had it in her apartment. She raised it since there was a baby snake. But as it got bigger and bigger, she started getting worried because it quit eating. So she takes it to the vet, says, well, tell me what's been going on. She says, well, it just quit eating. It doesn't want to eat no more. It's just very lethargic. He says, let me ask you a question. When you go to bed at night, does it wrap itself around you like it's right next to you? He goes, yes. Yes, the snake lays right next to me, right beside me. Like she cuddles with me. So the vet says, oh, be careful. Because the snake is sizing you up and preparing itself to eat you whole. And that's why it hasn't eaten. A snake is a snake. I don't care if it changes its colors, changes its actions, it's still going to slither on its belly, and it's still going to come and do what it was intended to do. It's still going to have a forked tongue. It's still going to lie to you. It's still going to come next to you and get chummy with you and tell you, sister so-and-so, you so anointed. Brother
so-and-so, I feel the anointing all over you when I get near you. See, a snake isn't the one that's always in the grass. A snake that comes up to you is always going to give you flattery. Will give you flattery and speak the things that you want to hear. And when you continue to hear what you want to hear, it begins to make you feel prideful and boastful. Get chulo que estoy. And then what happens is it begins to stroke your ego, and your ego begins to get built up. And no longer are you humble when you first started. Now you become puffed up with pride. And now you're hearing everything that you want to hear, and you follow after that voice as opposed to the voice of God. Are you seeing this? So this python spirit works in many different ways. But this is what's happening to the body of Christ. There's a mandate to go make disciples. There's a mandate to go preach the gospel. There's not one of you in here can save a soul. Not one of you. All you can do is present the gospel, your testimony. The choice that the individual makes is between them and God. You bring the good news. And if we could have that understanding, evangelism would be so different. You need Jesus. No, you do. Are you saved? Not from you, but I may be saved. You don't know. We need to have the understanding that there's a way to come across to people and a way to minister to people, as opposed to looking down on them and telling them they need something. How about bringing them something that you already know they need? How about bringing them the real love, even though you don't even like them? He commanded us to love our neighbor. But the reason why we don't love our neighbor is because we don't know how to love ourselves. Is this too much? Should I sugarcoat it a little bit? Because I wasn't going to. We have seen this too long. Now, I'm not just saying that the body of Christ is that way. The world knows about it. So they know how to get real chummy with you because you have a giving spirit. So they're going to get real. Oh, you are so, oh my God. Every time you pray for me, I feel something. The world knows how to use it. But we can't see it. There's something wrong. We've been blinded by it. So now I'm going to get back to this because I was going a little bit left. But I'm going to come back right. Okay, and then we'll get there. All right? Just follow me. Verse 17. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." You see that verse 17? You read that? Whatever version you have is talking to you that she is telling the truth. Is she not? Are they servants of God? They were sent there by God to do what? Bring the good news, right? And how to be saved, right? She was telling the truth. Your enemy doesn't always lie to you. And if you're looking for a lie, you've already been deceived. Because even behind the truth, there can be a motive. Are you hearing this? What is the motive of a spirit that is coming to broadcast you coming? They were looking to go to a place of prayer. Hear this. In the original text, it talks about that she was screeching. Greek, it says that she was screeching from her belly. Yes, I'm the man of God! You know, like how witches, I can't do it because, you know. I did good on that one. I should have put a pointy black hat on and put the green, you know, like the witch from A Wizard of Oz. She was screeching. She was screeching. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You understand the history of the place that where they're at. They've come into a new territory. They came into a new territory. What met them in a new territory was a spirit that didn't want the good news to go forth. Every time you're getting ready to go into that new place in your life, the new place in the destiny that God has for you, the new place that God is bringing you to promotion, the new place of elevation, there is a spirit that is waiting for you. Are you hearing this? You think you're about to embark on something great. Oh, it's a new year, 2018. Oh, yes, this is the year. What happened? Momentum just stopped. We're not even through January, and people are already like, oh, man. Got my gym membership only been once. Not me. You know how we prep when we got all these kind of New Year's resolutions, never get resolved. Resolution means resolve. Never get resolved. People go out and buy new workout clothes. They buy protein powders. They go buy all this stuff. And then they're going to go get dietary stuff and all these supplements. And by the end of the second week, most of it gets thrown out because it's already spoiled or they don't even use it. See, we need to have an understanding that because we are moving with momentum, the enemy's not afraid of your momentum. Because all he has to do is send someone to tell you the truth. If someone comes and tells you the truth, you may begin to believe it is God. But it's in the manner and the tone and the motive behind the truth that will tell you where it's sent from. Now, if I was to come up to you, Peter, and screech at you with the sound that you ain't heard before, but tell you the truth about you, would you receive it? Now, screeching loud, wouldn't it kind of make you feel like, wait a minute, this, I'm right here. Why do you need to, screech like that? Every time you get in the place of authority and influence, you begin to stir up the atmosphere around you. And you begin to stir up the demonic realm where it begins to take notice of who you are. And it's going to begin to stroke your ego and begin to tell you who you are. And you would think that it would begin to build you up and edify you knowing who you are. But when the demon tells you who you are, you better watch out. Because truly, the demon is trying to get close to you. Just get all chummy chummy. See, it's a tune every time you walk in. I feel it.
Sister Katrina, every time I get around you, anointing on your life.
Then you would probably say, get behind me, Satan. You would know there's something different. But how many of you question the rest of the scripture where it says that they went on for 3 days that way? 3 days. Now many, I've heard preachers preach this so many times, it make me mad. Paul was needed 3 days to discern what the Spirit was. That's not what it said, because at the very beginning there was a slave young girl with a spirit of divination, a python spirit. He knew at the very beginning. 3 days went on. Now here's what I want to begin to bring to you that I want you to see. There's some things that take time to line up for your destiny. He had a vision of a man saying, come to Macedonia and bring the good news. So he gets in the region. Now the Spirit meets him. Now the Spirit begins for 3 days just annoying the heck out of them. Have you ever had someone that's just so annoying in your life? Don't look to your left or your right. Just looking straight. Look straight. Someone that just annoys you so much that you finally had the nerve to say, enough! Enough! 3 days go by, and they're still going to a place of prayer, but they didn't say where they went. But they were looking for a place so they can go and pray and be with God. Every time you want to go and get closer with God, the Spirit is going to show up. Every time. Even in a fast, don't think that the enemy is not coming. Jesus was on a fast 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. Not only did Satan himself come, he showed up at his weakest hour and tempted him with all kinds of half-truths. Half-truths. And we need to be able to discern as a church to understand what is coming in and what is trying to deceive. Many times we get so familiar with the spirit that we forget to see it as a spirit. The python spirit is a familiar spirit. She was already telling the people around them who they were. Read your scripture. She was shouting about who these men are and what they come to do. They come to save us, to tell us how we can be saved. They come preaching the good news. Telling everybody around them. Why was she shouting it out? Because the python spirit, a familiar spirit, will always talk to others about God's intentions. So that this way the enemy can become able to distract the intention. You understand? So when all of a sudden all this girl is screeching out all this, that these men are men of God, servants of the Most High God, and they've come to bring us way of salvation, what she is doing is getting everybody else around them irritated as well. Come here, Lionel. Come here, Lionel, please, sir. Come here, Lionel. It's one thing just to irritate one. Come here, George. Come here. It's one thing just to irritate one. But see, they were walking together, and there was three others. There was Luke, there was Timothy, and then there was one more disciple. No. Say it again. Silas. I always forget that one. Silas. What's Silas? So there was a group of them. And this little girl just kept on screeching and screeching. And you would think these men by now would have said, well, go on, get out of here, girl. She's falling, you know. Get on. But never for 3 days, didn't even address. But finally on the third day, now watch what was happening. Watch what was happening. Everybody else was now taking notice of what was taking place. Watching what the men of God were going to do. Right? The trick of the enemy is to get everybody's attention on what is being said, what is being done, who they are, what their purpose is, to see how you're going to react to something that has been annoying you. Have you ever been annoyed so much, man, that you just get to that point? Hombre. Oh, sorry, that's not how I'm going to get on real quick. Lord, please help me discern. You know how we get to that point? We just get to that point like, oh, I just can't take it. Well, finally, Paul says this to her. Read in your word. Read in your word. Read in your word. Peter, read it real
quick. Well, he says, greatly announced. Oh, yeah, that he, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour.
Watch this. Now, can you imagine what the other brothers were thinking about Paul? Saying, you know, we've been going to this for 3 days. Paul, I'm about tired of this. I'm about tired of this woman. But because you're the apostle, you're the one that's going to write 2/3 of this Bible that we don't even know about just right now. I know something's going on. I don't know, but it just seems like this woman knows something about us. I'm about tired of this. Will you do something about it? Because I don't even know what to do. Would you just do... Isn't it just like the people of God to wait on somebody else that has the authority to speak? And once the authority speaks, Paul, he spoke to that woman and said, come out of her, devil, you foul, unclean spirit, come out, you spirit of divination, however you want to read it, whatever version you have, the spirit came out immediately. Why? Because authority spoke. Watch this. Now watch this. 3 days go by. Now, at this point now, those that are following Paul are probably wondering, wait a minute, you had the vision. You're supposed to be here by God? You had this vision, right? Because we're just following what you said. We got up and we sailed over here to get here. And look at what we're facing now. You sure you heard from God? Right? Do you see what happens when you're getting all kinds of things thrown at you when you're doing the things of God to distract you, distort you? And to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Even those around you can even sometimes second guess the authority. So the authority spoke. When the authority spoke and they saw the power of what was spoken to be removed, now watch this. Now watch what takes place on this third day. We understand that she was a slave girl to make money. She was given all these kinds of fortune telling for her masters to make money. So when she was yelling, she was telling the people, don't listen to them. Why? Because her purpose was so that they would always look to her for guidance. So that the money would not stop coming in. What would they see missionaries as coming in to preach a gospel that have no place to go and worship? What do you think they're going to be asking for? fortune teller. She knew some threat was coming in. And if we allow them in, this is going to cause a disruption of what we have going on right here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Now watch. Now watch. I'm going to point something out to you. You can read it in the rest of the story here. The book of Acts chapter 16. After that spirit comes out, who now shows up on the scene? The masters. The masters then take Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and takes them and brings them into the city square. Now, here's what I found very interesting when I read that. Doesn't it say that? Brings them into the town, brings them into the marketplace. Now, what gets me is, why was this woman outside the marketplace dealing with the men of God and not dealing with them inside the marketplace? Because she was trying to stop the word from getting into the marketplace, which represented the world system, which represented the jobs, the school systems, and everything else, kept them from coming into a place to make a difference in that city. Was trying to keep them outside the gate, keep them in the world system, so they wouldn't affect the people inside that had more power and authority to be converted. Are you hearing this? This spirit will try to stop you every time you're gaining momentum and you're moving in the very thing God has called you to do. The moment you continue to put your focus on Jesus and move forward towards the things that He's told you to do, all kinds of distractions and distortions are coming your way. Try to stop you before you get into the place of influence. Are you seeing that? That's what the scripture says. So now, watch this. Now, her masters now take the Apostle Paul and these disciples and takes them into where? Marketplace and where else? Read it. To the magistrate. Goes right into the judge. Let me get this. Now let's look at this. How many of you can walk into the judge's office right now? No? How many of you can walk up to the courthouse right now and say, I'm going to go see the judge right now? Can't. So that tells me in reading this that they had clout. They had influence. They were very affluent masters that had a relationship within the system to get what needed to get done anytime they wanted to get it done. Are you seeing this? So they used their influence out there in the world with all this witchcraft and all this fortune telling. So that tells me also that the judge was also part of going to them for fortune telling. So let's put it in today's vernacular. Today, the master goes up to the judge. Look, the one that's always telling you about all your lotto numbers that you've been hitting lately, that demon just came out of her because of these people right here. You still want to be, oh, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. No, she no more. She ain't got no more of that seeing thing no more. That's gone because of these men. You and I can't make money like we used to make money. Are you seeing it? Do you see the connection? The Python spirit will always move on the outskirts of authority first. But it's always linked up with a higher authority that has the ability to keep you in bondage. The Python spirit is always linked to a higher authority called Jezebel. Because they're interconnected, many would say that's the offspring of Jezebel. Whatever. I just know that they're connected. So now, watch this. But watch the intricacies of God and how He works things. 3 days went by. They didn't do nothing. My mind went right to the story. I said, well, they were supposed to go and minister to a man. That she was stopping them from ministering to a man. But then I started thinking, well, what about this jailer that's now getting ready to enter the scene here? Maybe 2 days ago, this jailer wasn't feeling good, had one of that stomach virus and didn't show up to work and just couldn't show up. So he was homesick, you know, and so he just didn't go to work. So 2 days had to go by. So on the third day, when all this happened, he felt a little bit better and then showed up to work. I'm ready to show up to work. I'm here. Put me in my post. I'm ready to go to work. I'll take care of the cells downstairs. No problem. I'll take care of whatever you need. I'm on post. I feel a lot better. So now things kind of start to line up, don't they? Are you seeing it this way? Because a lot of times when you read the scripture, if you just read it for what it is and you don't understand the backdrop of it, you're never going to understand the fullness of the scripture. God has a way of making sure things fall into place. Now Now we read on the rest of the story, because now they get thrown into the prisons. Right? So here's this jailer. This jailer says, I'm refreshed. I took all my supplements. I've been working out. It's a new year. I took my protein. I feel better. I got me a new, put on some new cologne today. I'm doing my job. It's taking post. I'm the jailer. They did what? These men did what? They cast out the demon of Sister So-and-so? Man, I ain't going to get my lotto numbers either now. Well, you know what? Just for that, I'm just going to put you not in just in the cells. I'm going to lock you up and put you in the inner cell. Now, for us just reading it, we think that's just a cell. We need to have an understanding that the cell had an open gate at the very top. It was nasty. The people that were out, that were free, would throw stuff into it, and that would hit the prisoners. The inner one was usually where the runoff was, where the latrine was. And I've said, that's where they were. So anytime God gives you a word, anytime God gives you a vision, and all kinds of distractions and distortions come your way, it's that spirit that's trying to get you in line to get right before the major spirit to get you in bondage. Because you can feel it constricting you. You can feel it begin to move. You should be able to get out of it if you discern it. But if you make yourself so comfortable, so friendly around it, then you'll make it part of you. And it will suffocate the fire, suffocate the life out of you, and you will no longer be able to do what God has called you to do. It will paralyze you. That's not what that's designed to do completely. That spirit is designed to slow you down and to distract you. Because ultimately, it wants you to fall prey to the Jezebel spirit. To keep you in bondage, to no longer submit to authority, no longer begin to do what God has told you to do, that's the authority in your life, and to keep you muzzled from speaking out. Seeing that. So now the spirit brought them, got them right before the magistrate. Now they're in prison. Here's, I love this story. I love it so much. And I have an understanding of it in a different way now. Now, Paul and his compadres, they all his brothers that he was with right now, now I can really hear them say, man, I know you didn't hear from God. Look at, because of your vision, look at where we're at. I got all this urine and poop falling on me. I can't move because I'm locked up in chains and stocks. I can't do nothing, but they didn't muzzle me. I'm telling you like how I feel right now. You ever been around someone like that? Because you heard God, you're doing what God said, but because it didn't go the way you thought God was going to do it, people around you begin to start talking. Even the ones that are ministering. Now I know some theologians there said, that's not what's in the Word. That's not what's in the Word. That's not what's in the Bible. How would you feel if you were connected with someone who was doing the will of God and everything looked like it was just totally. Wouldn't you start judging the situation? Come on, don't be so spiritual minded that you can't see the truth right in front of you. But instead, in that position and in that circumstance, come on, y'all know this story. Jailhouse Rock came from this story. They started worshiping even when the circumstance said not to. They started worshiping and singing right where they were at, locked up in a prison cell within the prison. And they started worshiping and praising God. And the Bible said that the earth shook. There was an earthquake. It shook. The foundations of what you're standing on from your past must be shook to open up the doors that have kept you bound. Because we're so caught up in an old familiar system that if it doesn't happen this way, we're going to continue to follow it. When it shook, it opened up the doors to just them, right? All the prisoners. What your praise and your worship does, it looses the doors and the chains of people around you. even though they weren't asking for it, even though they weren't looking for it, but they know that it's on you. They know they've waited for you to get there. They waited for the point for you to stand in that position and say, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I've got a mandate from God to do what God has called me to do, to preach the good news, to bring hope and salvation to a land that is dying, that has no hope. It don't matter what they tell me I can do, what I can't do. I am a servant of the Most High God. You may try to stop me, but I'm going to keep pressing on. And though you may lock me up, I'm still free in my chains. Though you may put me in the inner cell, I am behind the gates of heaven. I stand with my Jesus. I know him for myself. I know what he's done for me. I know where he's taken me. I know that I have victory. It don't matter what it looks like. And I'm going to praise him regardless of my circumstance. I'm going to worship him in my midnight hour in the darkest of my nights. Because it's not just for me. It's for those that are around me. Because if I can set them free, I'll reach someone that no one wanted to reach. I'll touch someone that no one wanted to touch. I'll embrace someone that no one wanted to embrace. This spirit tries to keep you from worship and praise. Tries to keep you from being alone with God. That's why he says, I'm a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Because what I'm about to do, if you knew it ahead of time, you wouldn't go through with it. It's so hard. We don't want to continue on. We want to quit. Part of that spirit is to keep you so discouraged that you won't follow through with what the mandate is. How can you be discouraged when you have the Lion of Judah standing for you? He says, I am your banner. I am your God. I am Jehovah Shammah. I'm already there waiting for you. The doors open wide for every prisoner that was in there. Every. And you got to understand this. There were so many of them. They all, but not one of them left. I've been behind bars. I know what it's like when that door opens, you look quick. Is that for me? I know what it's like. Mommy. Mommy. I know what it's like. They're ready to run, but what kept them from running is something that came out from within them. That shifted the atmosphere that made them say, I'm not running from what I just experienced. I'm staying if it means I have to stay here in this experience. Have you ever been in a place where it's so good that God is so thick around you? Do you want to leave? No. You want to stay. I don't want to leave. This, I've never experienced this. I never experienced this. I want to be right here. Even though I'm locked up, even though I did my crime, I'll stay right here in this. The gospel was preached by the song that was within. The song that was within preached his goodness. There's something about what you're singing about. There's something about what you're professing in your song. There's something you believe it. You're not just singing it. You're believing it because you lived it. There's something about this Jesus that you're singing to that I want to know. There's something that is going on that's coming out of you that I want to be a part of. There's something different about you that I've never experienced. I've seen all those false prophecies over here that the witches do. I've seen all this manifestations of witchcraft go on. But there's something about your worship that means something to me. There's something about your prayers that means something to me. There's something about what you're paying and you're going through. It's something for me. You're not going through it just for yourself because it's touching me. And I did something wrong. You didn't. But I want what you have. The Python spirit wants to keep you. It doesn't want to let you go. And if we don't discern it, It'll distract you. It'll keep you from doing the will of God. A familiar spirit speaks and keeps you in bondage. But the truth of the matter is, the Spirit of God never left you. Has never left your side. Has always been right there with you. And all He is waiting on is for you to sing the song that's with Him. Even in the worst circumstance, even when it doesn't feel right, even when everything's getting thrown on you, put on you, falsely accused, talked about, slander, gossip. That's what that spirit does. It slithers its way within the believers to talk about the intentions and what God has told you to do to make other people watch you, and then discourage you not to do it and say, see, it wasn't God. The truth of the matter is, when you stand, you've done all you can. Do you know Him? Do you know Him for yourself? Pastor Benny said, not my God for you, your God for you. Right before service, had a visitation. It brought me to tears. Sometimes we got to be reminded of the vision. We got to be reminded of what our purpose is. Because we get so caught up in doing everything else and we think that that's the right thing. But if we don't go out and do what He told us to do, what He told us to do, we will maybe never meet that jailer that needed the gospel. That jailer was about to kill us. Paul cried out. From within where he was at, he said, do not hurt us. We are all here. Read what it says. What must I do to be saved? How do you know about it? Because of what was being declared already to the people around me. What must I do to be saved? They didn't talk about salvation. They didn't sing about salvation. How'd they know? Because of what the Bible was saying already. The intention. What the enemy means for evil, God what? Turns it for your good. It may not feel good. Or it may not even smell good. It may not look like the way it's supposed to look. But as long as you know in your spirit, this is all. You don't stop. So what I want to do right now, before I don't even want to go into the characteristics. Next week I'm going to do part two, and I'll do the characteristics so that you can see it. Do more of a teaching instead of a preaching. But I want you to see this so you have a better understanding, so that you know and discern what you're dealing with. Signs of being distorted, being fatigued, being confused. Then you begin to doubt. You begin to doubt yourself and doubt what God has said. That's what that spirit does. It sucks that out of you. So if you've been dealing with something that always presents itself over and over and never wants to go away, you're dealing with the familiar spirit. That familiar spirit is attached to the python spirit. That familiar spirit is also known as a python spirit. What it does, it speaks to you from your past. It speaks to you about who you are. It speaks to you about the things that God has already spoken to you to do. So it makes you listen by the way of a familiar spirit. It's witchcraft. The signs of headaches, dizziness, sleeplessness, it's usually a tall tale that you have witchcraft.
wrapped around you. It may not be on you, but it's around you. So if you've been experiencing things like this, I want you to stand in your